It's the 20th of February, and we're going to be finishing up mutual funds and discussing the exam. And we got a lot to do today. We always have a lot to do today. What's the website?
WonderProfessor.
Everyone should say WonderProfessor. What's the website?
WonderProfessor.
So if you miss a class, where do you go? Everything's on the website, assuming no technical difficulties. All right, so you guys are awesome. What happened? Space? Look at this. We came in 20 minutes ago, it was 10 grand, and then just 5 minutes ago, it was 8 grand. This is called speculation. Buying it, selling it, buying it, selling it. And it's not investing, but hey, that's what you're out. It's out there. Now, okay, who's got a good joke? Anybody got a good joke? Oh, boy. So don't forget, if you come in late, come see me, and I'll put you down. I need to know who's here. I'll get that after class. Okay, so did I tell you about the alligator that walked into the bar?
Yes.
And the bear, and the mushroom, and the neutron, and the duck, and the rhinoceros. How about the lamp? Did I tell you about the lamp that walked into a bar?
No.
Okay, well, this lamp walks into a bar. Have you heard this one before? And he goes up to the bartender. Oh, Jehovah's Witness. The lamp goes up to the bartender and says, I want a beer and a shot of tequila and one of those Long Island iced tea. And the bartender said, wait a minute, that's a lot of alcohol. And the lamp says, that's right, I want to get lit. See, he's a lamp. He wants to get lit. You guys haven't learned yet to bring good jokes? Because I told you they'd get worse, but you didn't believe me. But now maybe you believe me. Okay, so where were we? We have some announcements, of course. We have some announcements. People are right here. How do we pick a mutual fund? But we have exam number one. Sandra, please calm yourself. Okay, bring a Scantron. Multiple choice, true, false. And the multiple choice, true, false questions will be very similar to the questions we saw for checking for comprehension with your A, B, C, D. So again, I don't try to make them tricky. Then you also need, you don't need a calculator. Don't need a calculator. But you get one page of handwritten notes. One page of handwritten notes. And there will be some written front and back, you know, regular sheet of paper. And there will be some short essay and some definitions. And make sure you know the major alternative categories. And I'm forgetting something. No, that's it. Scantron, one page of handwritten notes, essay, definitions. Study, but don't, you know, study every day, which is a whole lot better than trying to study, you know, the night before. It just doesn't work very well. Okay, also, the investment club is today at 12 noon. 12 noon. And we're not sure exactly what we're doing. The president had some ideas. I told her, I'm ready, whatever you need. So we might actually be... We might actually be talking about mutual funds today. Or I explained to her, one of the members is all gung-ho about annuities. And so I asked him, okay, what annuity are you talking about? He's an agent. He's an actual agent. He's selling these things to his mother and to himself. So he gave me the name of the annuity, and I looked it up, and I'm trying to figure out all the different provisions. And they're real. You think mutual funds try to confuse you? Wait till you see what the insurance companies try to do. And finally, went online and saw some presentations. And finally, they gave a concrete illustration of what would happen. It was horrible. It was terrible. So I'm ready to skewer Mr. Jeff. I hope he doesn't feel too bad.
I hope
he doesn't feel too bad about. I'm going to show him the difference between if he just invests on his own as opposed to giving your money to the insurance company and letting them screw you. I mean, letting them pay you a living stream of income for the rest of your life. Okay, so I think I'm forgetting something. All right, so any questions on the exam? Any questions on the exam? No.
What happened to the dude?
What?
How does, taking his money?
How does it take his money? He makes a tremendous commission. The commissions are awesome. The commissions in the insurance world, if you can sell insurance investments, you can make a lot of money. Yes?
But an exam all the time?
Well, yes. Most people can finish it. If not, then if you really, I mean, I don't want you to sit. You'll see people sit there like this, looking at one question. for 15 minutes. And they go, I'm sorry, I don't have enough time. Okay, if that's you, contact DSS, because you need more time. You can do it at the proctor. It's a little late now. But just keep moving. Put a little mark next to that one. Keep moving. There should be plenty of time for most people. If not, we can run over to another room somewhere because there's another class coming in. But don't people just stand as if if you don't know the answer, go to the next one, and it'll come to you later on. If they just sit there and stare at it, it'll come at them. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's your question? Okay, good. Okay, so now, this is where we were. We were at the point where we actually had to make a decision of 12,000 different funds. And my advice for you, can you pass these about around here in this group right here? My advice to you, for what it's worth, is to pick a mutual fund or a couple. You don't need too many, really. Some people have 17 or 23 mutual funds. Pick a mutual fund that invests in high-quality securities, stocks or bonds. There's a few others, but mostly stocks and bonds are what we're interested in. Is well diversified across several industries and sectors of the economy, preferably, in my humble opinion, global. Has a long-term perspective and a manager, or better yet, a management team that works together as a team. Now, it's not a committee. We don't want a committee because that means all the kooky ideas get kicked to the side, and all you wind up with is really dull companies. And they have many years of experience. And we want to avoid companies that shuffle their managers, which is fewer and fewer companies because they realize it wasn't the best deal. It didn't work too well for some mutual funds. It worked great for others. You have a few of those stars that shine, but a few of them, many of them, just turned out to be horrible. And it's been around for decades. And I know, there are new mutual funds starting every day, and I think, no, I'm not interested. Unless it's a company that's been around for decades and for some reason they think it's a good idea to start a mutual fund, and if the theme is a good one, yeah. But you want to see people who have done well in good and bad markets. And so my strategy now is to just look at one. I'm not trying to sell you ICA. Okay, this is a company that's been around for 86, 87 years or so. But I'm just trying to show you that this is a well-run mutual fund. It's been around, stood the test of time. And remember we said when we invest in stocks, it's a domestic large-cap growth and income fund. And, of course, they started before everybody threw those names out at them. They didn't know that they were domestic large-cap growth and income fund. Some people might say they're more value-oriented. But it has done very well over decades. Remember we said 8, 9, 10% for stocks, right? These guys have done 12 for over 86 years. Okay, so what I want you to do is open up to the middle, and there's nobody in here that remembers stealing their father's Playboy. I don't even know. Playboy, did they even make the magazine anymore? I don't think so. But, we had this. You guys didn't have to. You got the internet up in your room, high speed, but we had to steal our father's Playboy. So open it up like this, okay? And the industry uses $10,000. I don't know why. I don't know why they use $10,000. That's something they ask the Securities and Exchange Commission. But if you had put $10,000 away on January 1st, 1934, I think it actually started December 31st, 1933, go all the way to the right and all the way to the top. What did you receive? All the way to the right and all the way to the top. What is it? 11.9%? Is that what? Can you see that?
Yeah.
All the way to the right, all the way to the top. What did that 11.9% average annual return do for your $10,000? What did you have at the end of 2018? 100 and what? 138 million? Was 2019 a very good year?
Yeah, I
think
so.
Yeah, well, at the end of 2019, that 138 million was, 172 million.
Oh, whoa.
This is exponential growth. And what they did is they used a logarithmic scale. Now, many of you don't want to think that logarithms even exist, but they're the anti-exponent. And instead of making numbers look really, really large, they make numbers look really, really small. So if this thing were drawn to an arithmetic, it would be, where's the picture? Do you have a picture of the Empire State Building or the, on the slide. Not the, the Statue of Liberty. If this thing were drawn to scale, it would be 10 times larger than the Statue of Liberty. So can stocks do well for us?
Yeah.
If you had invested in bonds, all right, if you had invested in bonds, and let's say bonds gave us a little bit, they didn't really do 6.7, do about 6, but if you do in the middle, you'll see 6.7%. That's without dividends invested. But what did that 6.7% give us over 86 years? In the middle on the right-hand side where it says 6.7?
2,480,000.
So bonds gave us a little over 2 million. But do you see the difference that stocks can do for us? Over time. And therein lies what we call opportunity cost. By putting all your money into bonds, you did have a much less bumpier ride. We'll talk about the bumps in a minute. But you wound up with a whole lot less money. Now, what if you had said, I don't trust those bums at all on Wall Street. They're all crooks. Well, a lot of them are. What happened if you put your money in the bank and got that number at the bottom there where it says Consumer Price Index? You did a little bit better than this, but not much. What if you're 3.8% or 3.5%? What did the bank give you over those 86 years? $200,000. You see the difference? Do you understand opportunity cost now? It's something we study in economics, but a lot of people just don't really understand it. By saying, I'm putting all my money in the bank, I'm in short-term investments, I'm going to be safe. But what am I giving up in the process? Now, was this a smooth ride? No. It looks smooth because we've used a logarithmic scale. I want you to look at 1972. Go to the bottom of the 1972, and the number right above the bottom number is how much money your $10,000 became. What is that? One. That's 1,231,000. Okay, so you had 1.2 million in 1972. What did you have in 1974? 840? So in 2 years, you lost $400,000. What did you do? You put more money in? That's what people say, you know. But when they all have to tell their spouse, oh dear, remember that 1.2 million I told you we had? So yeah, it's a kick in the gut, isn't it? It looks like a little dip in the logarithmic scale, but it's a huge difference. What did you have in 1976? 1.4. You know, come on, answer me. I don't remember his number. 1.4. 4. This is what stock investing is like. It's is it too late to get in? Ooh, is it too late to get out? Yeah, Stephen?
So you got to keep putting money in or you just let it ride?
Well, it depends. If you're in the accumulation stage, which means you're still working, you're still contributing to your 401k, 403b, your Roth IRA, yeah, just keep doing it. Just keep putting money anyway. If you have a little bit of extra, you know, fine. Throw it into your 401k, your 403b, your Roth IRA.
But were they accumulating money on this one?
No. It's just 10,000, right. So in that case, for this situation, yeah, just let it ride. Assuming you don't need the money.
Oh, so this is just let it ride on 10,000?
That's what the SEC, I don't know why they do that, because I think it's the worst. For some people, I guess it's okay if you've got, you know, lots of money. But for the vast majority of us, we don't have $10,000 to start. We got to start with $50. So I'd much rather see them, but they don't listen to me. And I showed you that already. I'll show it to you again. What happens if you put a $50, $100 a month away? But now, ask yourself a question. What if I were in my 60s or 70s? You see what happens? So by this time, you would have, we don't have all the spectrum here, but by this time, you would have moved much of it towards bonds when you're in your 60s and 70s. And some people say you should put all in bonds. I disagree. I'll show you examples of what I would do, what I'm doing right now, actually. Questions, thoughts? Now, I want you to look at 1986. How much did you have at the end of 1986? $6,685,000. What did you have in 1987? Okay, now it looks like you made 5%, 6%, right? 1987, we're going to come back to 1987. From the beginning of 1987 until about August, the market went up 40%. So this thing became 9 million. Yeah. And then it lost 30-some percent. So it went below this, because the numbers going down are much worse than the numbers going up. But then it recovered, and so if you had just gone to a deserted island on January 1st, 1986, and come back on December 31st, you would have said, oh God, I made 4-5% this year, 5-point-whatever percent. But it skyrocketed. And what did you hear people say?
Is it too late?
Okay, you guys know by now, right? What did you hear people say? You forgot the ooh. Ooh, is it too late to get in? And then 3 months later, October 19th, 1987, Black Monday, the market lost 23% in one day. And what did you hear people say? Is it too late to get out? Right. So if you were lucky, if you were on some deserted island and never didn't even touch it. Cool? Same thing happened 2000. Let's go to 2000. What do we have in 2000? 47 million. Let's forget the rest of it. 47 million. What did you have in 2002? 38 million. 2007, what did you have? 70 million. What did you have in 2008? 45 million? Yeah. Dang. And it wasn't until 2012 when you recovered back to 70.
And so there are all these years you could take out the money at any time.
Right. You can take that money on any time.
It's just a person letting it rock.
Right. And obviously, we don't have an 86-year time frame. But some of you do, probably, yes. You got a question? Yes.
Oh, sorry. Is it known, like, how many people took their money out in 2008?
Well, sure. A lot of them. Because we're humans. We are hardwired to follow the herd. We're social beasts. We see a bunch of people running that way. What do? We run that way, right? Right, because we want to stay alive and there's a tiger running after us. But that's what you're going to be up against. If you invest in stocks, when you invest in stocks, you're going to have to be... Hang on a minute, Andres. You're going to have to steel yourself for these situations. And remember my words that, you know, if the world does end... It doesn't matter where your money is. Okay, hang on a minute. We had a question over here?
Yeah. But say you have already money in your 401k, how do you transfer it?
Okay, if you have money in your 401k, they don't even want to talk to you anymore. You just go online, and they'll show you a list of the options. Sometimes they'll have an option that says, do it for me. And they will. They know what your birth date is, and they will allocate it according to certain parameters that they have. But if you have a 401k and you really do want to make some intelligent choices, of course, what you've learned here should help. Plus, just contact me. I'll be happy to sit down and talk to you about it. Often, we have somebody at Southwestern. We have a dedicated registered representative, which means he's legally allowed to give recommendations. And he's not bad. I've talked with him a lot. I've asked him some questions. And I just to feel him out, see if he would screw people over. And he won't. Maybe he would, or maybe when I ask the questions, he probably will. I'm not going to answer that question the way he wants me to answer it. But yeah, they usually have somebody you can call, 800 number, whatever. But you can usually move the money around without any problems. Now, often, our system, I don't think they do it anymore, but they only allowed you to do 11 moves a year. Because they don't want you doing it every day. You know, it's a long-term. You pick your choices and then let them go. Okay, question, Andres.
No, I'm just quiet. I think I lost my question.
You lost your question?
Yeah.
Somebody find Andres' question? Okay, so what else? Now, so 45 million, and then 5 years later, you backed up to 70, and then the last 10 years have been go, 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 go. Are we heading for a crash? Someday it's going to happen. It sure feels like it when you see Tesla and space and Galactic SPCA, and you see people salivating for Bitcoin and the like. It sure feels like we're going to have a crash. But again, that would be the best thing for you folks starting out, wouldn't it?
Yes.
The best thing in the world to have a crash.
A discount.
Yes, excellent. Yeah, fire sale clearance. They're back up the truck. Now, so stocks are risky. In the short term, yes. In the short term, yes. We see that we can lose a ton. Wait, we need one for her. You have one also? Yeah, okay. Okay. In the short term, yes, but in the long term, no. Now, what happens if it's not? You hear people say, I don't think it's a good time to invest. Every time people think it's a good time to invest, it's usually the worst possible time. I want you to turn to page, what is it? Yeah, page 15, right, 15. They have a name for this. Oh, by the way, this thing has been around for decades, and a lot of other mutual fund companies have copied it. And they're a pretty sharp group. This is a very sharp group. It's called the American Funds, and they're changing their, well, they're very odd. They've always called themselves Capital, but people started calling them the American Funds, and so they said, okay, we're the American Funds. But now they want to go global, or they already have. They already have stuff outside the United States, but they want to have a global name, so they're changing their name formally for everybody else to see to Capital. Now, here's a guy they call Louis the Loser. All right, they don't have another name for the person who picked the best day, but George Genius or whatever. But on the left-hand side, you see that Louis the Loser put in $10,000 every year, good for him, on the worst day, the day of the market high. On the right-hand side, you see George Genius. He put in $10,000 on the best day of the year, the day the market hit its low. Now, you'd think that the guy who picked the worst day of the year would have a whole lot less than the guy who picked the best day of the year. Not really. I mean, what's the difference? It's about, what, 85,000 or so. So it's not trivial, but it's not like he lost everything. He still did not bad. And the last 20 years, with the two great bear markets, 2000 to 2002 and then 2008, have been very difficult for long-term investors. So it's time. Are you going to pick the best time to invest every month? Sometimes you're going to be good. Sometimes you're not going to be good. But you're not worried. That's why dollar cost averaging is such a powerful tool, because it removes the emotion. Is it a good time to invest? Who cares? My $50 a month comes out of my paycheck, out of my checking account, $100 a month, if we can afford it more. And if the world doesn't end, we'll do okay. Now, the benefit of time, when it go to look to 17, page 17. Page 17. You see those pie charts? They're donut charts, I guess. I like pie charts better. But remember that this guy has, well, the one we're looking at, the A shares, has an upfront fee. And so you have to pay that upfront fee on day one. If you paid that upfront fee and waited a year, there's about a one-third chance that your whatever you invested will have gone down. Two-thirds chance it'll go up. But if you just extend your this is page 17. If you just extend your time horizon to 3 years, it goes from a one-third chance to about one-seventh chance. One in seven chances. If you extend your horizon to 5 years, it goes down to one in 13 or so, one in 14, one in 13, Yeah, 1 in 13 or so. But if you held your money for 10 years, which is why you buy a long-term oriented stock mutual fund, you never lost money in 10 years. So you see, it's long-term. And a lot of people come into this class, or maybe not come into this class, but they, when they think of investing, they think they're going to be buying and selling and buying and selling. And you know, the baby can do it. I saw the baby on E-Trash, right? With the, they don't have those commercials anymore, right? The baby with the, with the, with the...
Did you say E-Trash?
I'm sorry, what was it?
E-Trash,
yeah. E-Trade, I'm sorry, E-Trade. With the, he's got a tablet. He's a baby, he's got a tablet. Okay. Okay, cool. Now, I want you to turn to page, what is it? Page six. And on page six, now this is a, the new one hasn't come, I don't know, they keep, it used to come out in early February, now then it came out in early March, and then last year it didn't come out till late March. They're getting longer and longer to get the darn thing out. But as of December 31st, 2018, here were the top 75 companies in the in their portfolio. Now, what I want you to look at is, you know, look at, scan the list, and most of these companies you will know. Now, some of them you won't. Some of them you won't know. But you'll see that most of them are based in the United States. This is a domestic growth and income fund stock. Some of them, they got to up to 15% outside the United States. Any companies you haven't heard of?
AbbVie
is a drug company. It was spun off from Abbott Labs. Abbott Labs is a company that's been around for decades, and they, when you go get your blood taken, there's a good chance that Abbott Labs is the company that's testing the blood, and also they make drugs also. So they split the company a few years ago.
What's Broadcom?
Who, Broadcom?
Yeah.
They make anybody who's techie? They make chips for digital to analog conversions. Who are techies here? Any techies? Don't they make the digital analog chips, Broadcom? He's thinking, you think they did. Maybe they do something else now. How about some of the others?
How about, what's that?
Pernod Ricard. Ricard. Anybody into Dom Perrier? Isn't that the company? They make champagne or something like that. Isn't that them? Dom Perrier, yes. And they make what's the very famous water? Perrier? But most of these companies you know, right? They're large companies. They have their roots deep in the economy. Are you going to get rich quick?
No.
But if the world doesn't end, are you going to get rich? That's why we said when we were at the aggressive growth funds, you made a little bit there because, boy, it could explode on you. Small cap funds, they could do really, really well, or they could make you sad and go down the porcelain oasis. Cool? Now, another thing, I think that's enough. Wait, let me just show you this, what I like. And this is, again, I'm not trying to sell you this fund. In fact, if you came to me, I wouldn't normally show you this fund as the first fund because it's domestic-based. Not that it isn't a good fund, but I show mostly younger folks globally based. So go to page 9. And here are the folks who actually make the decisions. Notice it's a team. And they used to have a pie chart. And I told them I thought this was stupid because it looks like, to me, a heat sink on a CPU. But it's supposed to be a portfolio, right? Everybody's got a portfolio. And so what they do is they all work together. And more of them are women. There's still a lot of room for more women in the industry, gals. I'm serious. This woman, look, she's been around. She started as a secretary at Capitol in Los Angeles.
Is that coming?
Joyce
that
Gordon.
Counting,
what?
Is that coming in 39 years?
I assume so. But she obviously showed because she's been around for a long time. Because a lot of people burn themselves out. I talked to one guy who's long gone, and he was just a stress case. And I said, well, don't they help you with the stress? They do their best to help us with the stress. But you could tell this guy was, and he didn't last much longer than that. I said, do you exercise and stuff? And he says, yeah, I do. But it's very, you know, can you imagine going to night, work at night, and everybody's looking at you. You know, your results are shown and shared. And so what they do, and this is, and again, I'm not trying to sell you on capital or American funds, but what they do is they all work together as a team. But one person could be buying Home Depot and the other person could be selling Home Depot. And that's perfectly all right. And they pioneered this back in the early 1960s, late 50s and early 60s. And now other companies thought they're nuts, they're crazy. But now more and more companies are using this same system because they realize, one of the best funds of Fidelity is a fund called Contra Fund. And the guy is brilliant, Will Danoff. If you go online, type in Will Danoff and listen to him in interviews. But he's getting up there. And so what's going to happen when Mr. Will Danoff leaves? When you have a team of 8 or 9 people, one person leaves, it's not the end of the world, right? Because it's a team. Any questions, any thoughts? So what happens when the market goes down? You keep a long-term perspective and you dollar cost average. A system of buying an investment at regular intervals with a fixed dollar amount. Have we done this yet? We have. I thought so. With dollar cost averaging, there's always good news. The market's up. Good news.
Yay.
You're supposed to go, yay. Yeah. Wait, the market's up. Good news.
Yay.
Your account is worth more. The market's down. Good news.
Yay.
Yeah. Well, next month, you're going to get more shares at when your $50, $100 a month comes away. Now, I want you to memorize this, and you might not know what it means. We're going to come back to it, so if you don't remember it, don't worry about it. But your average cost per share should be lower than your average price per share. Now, what does that mean? If I buy more shares when the price goes down, and I buy fewer shares when the price goes up, I'm going to be buying more shares when the cost is lower. So my average price per share, my average cost per share will be lower than the average price. And remember, just memorize it. Memorize it that cost per share should be lower than your average price per share. And we'll come back to it when we actually start playing with shares and the like.
That's fun.
All right. Now, it is. I've been racking my brain trying to come up with a better name for it because it's a horrible. Doesn't it? What does it tell people? It's dollar cost averaging. What the hell does that mean? You're going to put $50 a month away. That's what you're doing. Your dollar cost. Oh, I am? Okay, good. Okay. So now, we ran the hypotheticals. We can show you to them again because not many people have an 86-year time frame. But do you want to see them again? $100 a month? Or if you want to see a different one, we can run different ones, assuming the internet's up. Okay, let's go back and just take this real fast, because this is potent stuff, dear students. So we ran it for $100 a month for 30 years. Okay, and we did the plain song, not guarantee, you may lose money, you will lose money. And we're going to do this for 30 years, so $1,200 a year, $100 a month. We start off at 1990 when the market was going up, two directions, up and way up, and we wind up with $172,000, which is not bad because we only put in $36,000, what some people spend on a car, and we wind up with $172,000. But is that really what we're happy with? Everyone should say no.
No.
Say no, Frank.
No, Frank.
We can do a whole lot better, Frank. So let's do this for 40 years because I know you don't want to think about working for 40 years. But my greatest wish is that you find a job that you love. I mean, I'm the luckiest guy in the world because I get to do what I love. I get to teach what I love. I get to torture students. They pay me to do this. I mean, I'll do it for free. Shh, don't tell them that. Then we start in 1980 when the market started doing its thing where it went up in two directions, up and way up. And our $48,000, which again sounds like a lot of money, but it's not, over 40 years is now $676,000. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Right. But can we do better? Yes. By simply foregoing two trips to $5 every month, we can, where did it go? Here it is. We can say, look, put a new tab there. Where did it go? Is that the one? Yeah, that's it. By foregoing two cups of coffee a month, $10 a month, we increase. So the first year we pay $100 a month, contribute $100 a month, second year $110, third year $120. I mean, think about it. And hopefully debts are going to go down so you can put even more. Some people put a lot more. And we've put in $141,000. Again, sounds like a lot of money, but you're going to be spending, maybe not, well, even if you do, you're still going to probably be spending that much. If you don't have a car, you're going to be using, come get me car. $141,000, $1.15 million. Not bad, right? Not bad at all. Now, what's the problem? The problem is we don't have any folks been here. Sometimes we have people in their 40s and 50s, and they go, "Why didn't you tell me this 25 years ago?" And so they're hard against it because they don't have the time, because time is the exponent. So we showed you $500 per month for 20 years, $1,000 per month for 20 years. And if you want to see a different one, you know, just send me an email, ask me, and I'll do it for you. Because I could talk about this a whole lot longer than most people would ever want to listen. But now that you have a pretty good idea of what kind of wealth we can build, what are the fees involved, let's take a look at what happens when you go to a brokerage firm and they give you this wealth management account. Again, if you start off with $50 a month, the wealth management fee really isn't going to be a huge drag on your wealth for several years, because you're not paying the commission, but you're getting hit with an extra fee. But in later years, it will. But they don't want you. They don't even want you. I'm picking on this guy, Fisher, Ken Fisher. And if you're interested in the Me Too movement and all the ramifications of that, this guy, he had the privilege or the good fortune of being the son of a very influential professor. But he's built his own little world. That helped him, but he's definitely done very well for himself, and it's created a very large company that manages your money. They don't want you unless you have at least $500,000. And other brokers will say, "Well, I usually don't take anybody who doesn't have at least $1 million." And I think they don't need our help. These people, the people who are putting $50 a month, they're the ones who need our help. And I just shut up, you communist college professor. They laugh at me when they find out I teach. They just kind of chuckle. Oh, he's an oddity. So let's see what happens if we have a $500,000 paying the upfront fee for 20 years, and then $500,000 paying the upfront fee. No, not paying the upfront fee, but paying the 1.25% yearly wealth management fee that Fisher charges. Now, some charge less, some charge more. So if we have $500,000, and we used ICE. Where did it go? There it is. I don't know why. Sometimes it puts it right next to it, and sometimes it puts it over somewhere else. So we start with 500 grand. Remember, we paid the upfront fee. But remember, the fee goes down. This is the thing that drives me insane. If you have $500,000, you don't pay 5.75%. You don't pay 4.25%. You pay 2%. If you have $1 million, you don't pay a dime. There's no sales charge. That's a no-brainer. But hey, I don't have to make my mortgage payment off my commissions. I'm an elitist. So that $500,000 in 20 years, was it 20 years, becomes almost $2 million, $1.8 million.
2 years, you say?
20, not 2 years. 20. We didn't buy Galactic, Virgin Galactic with it. Okay, so is that cool?
Yeah.
But what happens now if we add that 1.25% fee? I'm going to open it a new window. How's that? That's cool. If we pay that we don't pay the 2% up front, but we pay a 1.25% every year, and over 20 years, that $500,000 has become 1.476, almost $1.5 million. It's about $300,000 different, a little bit more than that. You see? But you get a bottle of wine on your birthday. They take you to the steakhouse because they can afford it, right? They take you golfing. Now, what if we just extend 25 years? And this is what just drives me up a wall. Okay, here's 25 years, new window, make it bigger. That $500,000 over 25 years becomes $5 million. Right, exponential, right? Zing! So $5.3 million. But if we pay the 1.25% in fees, where did he go? There it is, right there, there it is. Open a new window. 5.3 million? See what fees can do to you over long term. And this is why, you know, I'm not going to shut up. They can't fire me, right? My boss, well, he's not going to fire me. And the industry can't kick me out for telling the truth. You can tell the truth. You're allowed to tell the truth. You can get sued for telling lies. But I'm not lying. I mean, here it is right here. And this is SEC approved, FINRA approved. I mean, this is the actual numbers that the industry burps out. So you might wind up in the industry. And you might say what I said, and you're not going to get the job. So don't say what I said. Just smile, give them a bottle of wine on their birthday, and realize that they're paying through the nose for your services. Oh, well. You're all quiet now all of a sudden. I hope I didn't. It wasn't meant to be a downer. Okay. All right, next. Now, did I say I was trying to sell you ICA? No, I'm not, because it's not the only one out there. But we got to look at one, right? And this one happens to have one of the best sales literatures ever made, created, and it's been copied many times. And if you want to keep it, they're going to come out with a new one in a few weeks, and then all these have to be thrown away. So if you want it, go ahead, you can keep it. I have enough for the next few weeks. But look, these are all mutual funds that have been around for 50 years or longer, and they've all done 10% or better. Now, I threw in an honorary one, the Franklin Templeton Utilities Fund, because a utilities fund, think about it, utilities, they have no business making 9.88%. They certainly, you get 6% out of a utilities fund because utilities ain't going anywhere, right? They're not exploding, like Titter and Farcebook, but they're not going anywhere because people don't want to take cold showers in the dark. But Franklin, for some odd reason, actually, I know kind of what they did to do this. But look at this, 11.5, 11.58, 1967, 1950, 1931, a balance fund doing 10%. Dodge & Cox, really cool company, but they only have five funds. Very strange. They're in San Francisco. Now, San Francisco is very sophisticated, right? You expect people to be suave and debonair. These people look like they live in Kansas. You can go on their website. They have videos, excellent videos. In fact, I try, whenever you show a video, it's got to be closed captioned. And I tried to get them to allow me to, they haven't come back. I have to contact them again. They have this excellent video that I want to use, and I can't. Okay, because online you have to be closed captioned, and they haven't. I'll contact them again. But look at the Contra Fund. Right, I told you about the Contra Fund. Check this one out. Now this, for years I kept this guy out of the list, for a very special reason. This is the fund that was run by Peter Lynch, One Up on Wall Street. You're going to read that book. Nod your head yes. Nod your head yes. Did I show you the picture of the one student in Puerto Vallarta reading One Up on Wall Street? I'll show it to you. From 1977 till 1989, he ran the Fidelity Magellan Fund, and this guy got his job from being a caddy, a golf caddy, and working with being a caddy for the people who in Boston who worked at Fidelity. And he got an internship and everything, and worked his way up. 29%. Over 12 years, 29% over. Then he retired. His hair turned all white. It's a stressful job. So that's why I kept it out. But I thought, it's not fair. All these other ones, So, but don't buy Fidelity Magellan because it hasn't lived anywhere up to it. But 12. There's the one we just looked at. 12. Templeton. Here's the only one that is global. All of these are basically domestic. And why is that? It's not because global hasn't done well. It's just because there hasn't been that many global funds this long. In a few years, the global funds started coming out in the late 60s and then into the 70s. And so in a few years, we'll have a few more to put it on there. But most all of these are domestic. And look at this guy, the small cap stock fund. Small cap companies. But is the ride smooth? No, there's several times when this guy has lost 50% or more of your money. So is the news good? Are you getting an education? Good, that's what we want. Okay. But what about the investors? Who would ask Nate? Was it Nate? How many people took their money out in 2008? A whole lot. Because What happens is that most mutual fund investors do worse than the mutual funds they invest in. Huh? How can that be? How could most people who invest in mutual funds do worse than the mutual fund? Very easy. They buy high, sell low. Here's 2000, when the market, after 20 years, had gone in two directions, up and way up. Here's the return of the market, the yellow. And here are the cash flows. Look at the cash flows when the year 2000 started. People just started throwing money into the mutual funds like crazy as the market dropped. And it wasn't until the market was at its peak that people started taking their money out. Just in time for the market to go back up. And then what did they do? Put their money back in until 2008. And what did they do? They took their money. You idiot. You pigeon. You've been skewered and roasted and plucked and you dumb. This guy had a PhD. And then what happens? Throughout 2010, 11, 12, people were still very frightened. And then at the littlest hint of a downturn, they took their money out. And then they started putting it back in 2013 after the market had done really well. And this one goes up to 2016. What do you want to make a bet that people are now? Well, it's actually the last information I saw was that people are still worried. They still got 2018 in their head. So are you going to be one of these people? No. Say no, Frank. Wait till I ask you. Are you going to be one of these people? No, Frank. So what's the bottom line of mutual funds? Choose a fund family, stick with them, reevaluate them periodically, but make changes judiciously and sparingly. And as you approach retirement, migrate from stock funds to bond funds. Don't give up on stocks entirely. $50 a month, $100 a month, whatever you can afford. But for the most part, forget about them. Once you've made your choice, which is not easy, if you think you need an advisor, go see an advisor. There are some studies that show that people with advisors actually do better over the long term. Why? Because we advisors talk them off the ledge. Don't drop. Don't leave because it's 2008. Don't jump now. Hang on. Unless you need the money right away, and then you're screwed. So that's what I said. Don't be one of the mutual fund investors that does worse than your mutual funds. And there we have chapter 4, probably the most important chapter for you because most of all you are going to have mutual funds in your 401k, your Roth IRA. Questions, thoughts, ideas? Oh, I hope you're getting an education. Okay, so now take out your packet for chapter 4. I think I might be out of them. No, that's the investment club. Here it is. And let's now look at the assignments. We do over time. Oh, not bad. We got half an hour. Good. Okay, page 3 and 4 are the assignments. Anybody need one? Okay. Get a 3-ring binder, folks. You got the punches already there. It makes your life a whole lot easier. Okay, so your first assignment, page 3, is to... You can use, if you want to, you can use ICA, it doesn't matter. But go find 2 mutual funds. Find 2 mutual funds. And then check out the annual report, the prospectus. Do an internet search. Go to Morningstar. Now be careful, when you go to Morningstar, they're going to try to sign you up. And there's a free account. And sure, go do the free account. But then they're going to keep hitting you with, ooh, wouldn't you like to try our premium for only, you know, $59? No, it's like $30 a month. But just say no thanks, because all the stuff is free in the library. You could go to the library. Lipper now gives information on their website. Didn't used to. You had to pay. But Lipper is the other one. MarketWatch, finance.google.com, finance.yahoo. They're helpful. But most important is to go to the website of the mutual fund company. And on the... In chapter four section, there are 6 companies. I think 4 of them are awesome. I won't tell you which ones, you decide. Two of them, okay. They're all companies that have been around for decades, have mutual funds that have done well in good times and bad. So check them out. And then if you have a 401k at work, check out the ones available to you. And of course, there are dozens and dozens of companies and thousands of mutual funds, so don't think you have to use just the ones on the website. Okay? Some of the things are a little tricky. Keep nosing around to find. The turnover is sometimes a little tricky to find. Look for profile. Often in the profile, they'll put the turnover. And then Morningstar added this capture ratio, which I really like, the crash capture ratio. Then they took it away, and they put it back. So I don't know if you'll see it. I don't know if they might take it away again. I don't know. But then the top three holdings of the fund are on the website of the mutual fund company. Actually, Morningstar and MarketWatch also had them. And check out the annual report. Download the annual report from their website. Download the prospectus. Do your best to nose around to these things. And realize that some of the companies really don't want you to understand what the hell's going on. They just want you to kind of look at it and go, oh, okay. Now, the other side, whoops, the other side on your page, these are the originals, is the thrift savings plan. Somebody had that already? Was that in mind? You had the thrift savings plan? You were in the military or if you had a federal worker? This is the federal government's 401k plan. It is actually a very good plan. Why? Because it is simple. They have five funds. That's it. Yes?
What do you think of the L-2040?
Yes. Well, I have to ask your age. Don't tell me now. But you have to look at your age for which one is good for you. The five funds I'm talking about are not the L funds. Ignore them for doing problem number two. Then I'll ask you about the L funds in problem number four. Okay. So they have five funds, and then if you don't want to use those five funds, you can choose the L funds. If you're going to retire in 2050, 2060, 2040. And what do the L funds do? The lifestyle funds, the target date funds, the target retirement funds?
They pretty much put them in like the surplus.
They allocate them in the spectrum according to their own algorithm. Now, my humble opinion, I feel that they're too conservative. But then again, I notice stuff, right? Other people, so they give, I think that they're too conservative for most people. But that's my opinion, for what it's worth. Okay, and that's actually a pretty darn good assignment because this is what you're up against. What was your name again? No. Melissa. Melissa has a 401k at work, right? And so she needs to familiarize herself with the investments. And so if you want to do the same questions for yours, go right ahead. It's going to be a little tougher because you probably have more than five choices. Yeah. It turns out when you give people fewer choices, they're more likely to join. If you give them 70 choices, it's America. We have 51 different flavors. You give them more choices, they kind of, I don't know what to do. What are you going to do? I don't know. What do you do? Then they pick the one that they aren't going to lose any money, or they pick the one that's going to make them a lot of money over the long term if they're not stupid enough to let them take it out. Okay? All right. Now, there's a bonus assignment, which will take you all 5 minutes once you figure out how to do it. And this is an index fund assignment because the Standard & Poor's 500 index on page 6 is the most popular index fund, and it's gathered love and attention and a whole lot of money. And what I'm going to ask you is, how diversified is it? I want you to find the top 10. It's not hard to do. You just got to nose around a little bit. Find the top 10 holdings on page 6, and you will be able to figure out what percentage the top 10 out of 500 companies make up the Standard & Poor's 500. Okay, now let's take a look at page number 5. Page number 5. Okay, let's get this on the screen. On the screen. There may be something like this on the exam. I don't know for sure, but you're never quite sure. You're never quite sure. So let's open this up in a new window and make it nice and big. And so we have time to break into groups. How do I make this bigger? Go control plus, 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 plus. Okay. Oop, too many. You are an investment advisor for No Hope Financial. You know No Hope. He's from Korea. No Hope. Hey, below are three case studies. With your group, create a suggested allocation of mutual funds for each of the three case studies. How much would you allocate to each mutual fund from any lump sum the clients have? How much would you suggest they contribute each month? How much would you suggest they allocate to each mutual fund from their monthly contributions? Explain your reasons. Now, this is open-ended. There's no one answer. There's no one correct answer. There are many choices that you can go with, realizing that everybody's different, and your boy is more likely to stay somewhere in the middle. If you remember our get the mutual fund scramble sheet out, I'm more likely to stay somewhere over here, not all the way over there, but you decide. What a lot of people I've noticed do is they take the money market, 50%, and they take the aggressive growth fund, 50%, which actually is a name for that in the industry. It's called the barbell. It's called a barbell. I'm not a very good artist. Might look like kidneys, but you have a whole lot of aggressive, 50%, and 50% money market. So you ain't going to lose anything over here, but you can lose a lot here, but you can make a lot here. I'm more of a in the middle kind of guy. So, but that's up to you. That's why there's coffee and tea, and some people like cocoa. Right? So we have three situations. The childless couple in their mid-40s wants you to help them start an investment program. They've just received $50,000 from the wife's parents as an inheritance. They say they will not need the money until retirement. So long term, right? 40s, 20 years they have. They each make a respectable salary and already own their own home. They currently have no savings. Yeah, and it's welcome to America. People spend, right? Every time. They make money, they spend it. They make money. What's the problem? And although each has a 401k program, neither is taking advantage of it. The husband once lost all $15,000 of inheritance playing the commodities futures market. Yeah. So they're very nervous, aren't they? Yes, the idea of investing. A young woman in her early 20s just graduated from college, landed a job as an elementary school teacher. She has $18,000 in student loans. Isn't she lucky? Yes, maybe she came to Southwestern first and then went on to state. Her father is hounding her to start a retirement program now. Because she is a teacher at a public school, she's eligible for 403B, which is very similar to 401K. You know, it comes out of your paycheck. She knows absolutely nothing about investing, but said her father has been investing for many years, told her that she needs to start learning now. She has no immediate plans for marriage, or starting a family, or buying a house. And then the last one, a divorced couple are in their mid-30s. They're worried about sending their kids to college. They have two children, ages 2 and 7. Neither is remarried. They have joint custody, and so far the divorce has been amicable.
What?
There's no knives and court orders involved.
No me isn't like that.
What?
No me isn't like that.
No
movie is not like that.
No movie is like that?
It says normally it's not.
Oh, normal. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. Sorry. I'm getting old. My hearing is not as good. Yeah, normally it's, that's not true. You'll meet people who, you know, they dis. You're right. There's sometimes just court orders, right? You know, but restraining orders. Although both are working, neither has a 401k plan at work. The father just received $10,000 from an accident settlement. They both said if money is tight, neither has a large amount of money of disposable income. So here are the mutual funds you have at your disposal. And what you want to do, we'll get you into threes, groups of three or four. We want you to come up with a little plan. Don't worry about being perfect. Because usually what we see, you see this look at people say, I don't know. The deer in the headlights look. Don't worry about being perfect. Just make some choices and be, you know, come up with some reasonings why you made those choices. Is that cool?
Yes, sir.
Yeah? Because there may be something like this on the exam. And all you got to do is choose and say why you thought it was a good idea and don't worry about it. As long as it was remotely close to anything that might make sense, I'll give you the credit, because I'm more interested in that you make mistakes, because sometimes you will. You know, that's what we do. All right? So get in threes. Come on, get in threes or fours. Get in threes or fours. And we got 20 minutes, so spend about 5 minutes on each. Yes, question. I'm sorry. Okay.
Do they want to make an investment for their college fund?
Yeah, it's a college fund. So what? Well, we don't have to worry about that. But yeah, let's say it's 529. But they got, yeah. So they got 15 years. That's more important. Whether they do it in 529 or they do it outside the 529, the more important is they got about 15, 20 years, right? Because the one kid's 7, the other kid's 2, So they've got about, you know, 15 years to play with. 15, 20 years. Okay, so getting groups. Okay, you guys can get together. Three guys get together here. And then you two join. You can join this one group. And how we got three? There's two over there. Want to join them up there? The two up there. I have the last one. This is it. This is the last one. That's the original. So right with those guys. And then you can join this group. There's three up here. I'll get you. Come on up. Okay, Melissa. It's right here. No. Yeah, you can do that there. It's like a 401k. In other words, you go to your employer, and sometimes they do it automatically. You start working, they'll take 3% or maybe even 5% out of your paycheck and automatically send it to the 401k. Now that your money is yours. Sometimes the employer will match. Yeah, you put $50 in, they'll put $50 in. That's 100% return on your investment in one day. Where are you going to get that? Only with your job. And why are they doing that? And they want you to go away when you're done. When you leave, they don't want to have to pay when you retire. It used to be that the company would put money away on your behalf. Sometimes you'd contribute it and you get a pension. No more. No more. So that's how 401k works. A 403b is very similar. Okay, so we're working here. Alejandro, right? Are you with this group here? Okay. Don't worry about being perfect. Questions? Any questions? So make you got about 5 minutes per should be about halfway through the first one. So don't spend too much time on these. 5 minutes each. Extra pen? Okay. It's a bad pen. Okay, Sam Alcala. Sam. Imani's here. Vincent. Natalie Castro. Daphne. Daphne here. Tamara. Sarah Giovanni. Nancy Hernandez. Steven's here. Viri here. Melissa's here. Luis Marchand. Giuseppe is here. Luis Marquez is here. Sergio Martinez. Okay. Xavier here. Aaron. Isaac. Aaron Ramirez. Isaac Rincon. David Ruiz. Oscar Ryan. There he is. And Ruben's not here. Okay. Yeah, he basically gambled with his money. He thought he knew what he was doing.
So he did. So
he bought pork bellies or coal futures, and he just lost everything. And that's what happens. You lose it like that overnight. You can lose the money, everything. Of course, you can double it overnight. So it's gambling. Roll the dice. Oops. Craps. They don't call it craps for nothing.
So we all agreed on this one.
Yeah.
Are you gonna tell us what the best ones?
No.
No.
Well, maybe what I'll.
Well, I just wanted to see like what's your point of view or like what.
Well, I like growth and income, right? For most people, the folks in their 40s, they still have 20 some years left, but they're nervous. So you might want a balance fund for them, or maybe equity income, and a little bit of government securities. Well, what are they going to get? They're going to get security, but they're going to pay a lot for that. They're going to get 3%, but at least it won't go down, right? Yeah, you're right. You're right. You know, that's the trade-off. That's what you write. Don't listen to me. I don't want you to come up with what I say. I don't want you to be a walking Frank. I want you to come up with your own ideas. And you know what? Some of your clients will sleep better at night. That's for sure. Yeah.
I like the S&P 500.
But remember, they're a little nervous. So what else are you going to add to them?
I was thinking about bonds.
Ah, so you have a little balance there, don't you?
But I like the S&P a lot better.
Well, but not 100% for people who are really nervous, would you think? Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, 50,000 is pretty good money.
Unless you're going to call them every... Okay, Arden. You're going to call them every other week or every day and say, I know it went down 1%. Relax. You know, so take them to the steakhouse. Okay, so back here, this guy's you're working? Come on, let's go. So you should be on the number two now. You should be on number two. You should be on number two by now. B's almost never match.
Never match?
No, teachers, we get kind of screwed. 401Ks usually match. Not always, though, but 403Bs usually never match. Yes, questions, thoughts? So you should be working on, you should be almost done number two. What? Remember, capital appreciation is like a growth fund.
Yeah.
They're lumped in together, but they tend to be, not always, you got to be careful, they tend to be more broad in their approach. They will buy a food company if they think it has potential for growth. Even though they can invest pretty much in any kind of company for capital appreciation if they think the price is going to go up. Whereas a growth fund will typically buy growth-oriented companies. You know, the tech companies, the companies that are growing fast. They would never buy a utilities fund. But a capital appreciation fund could buy a utilities fund if they thought, hey, it's beaten down. We think it's going to come back up. But it's a subtle difference, isn't it? Very subtle. And that was the Magellan guy. He had a capital appreciation fund, which meant that he didn't necessarily have to buy growth companies. He could buy Dunkin' Donuts, which at the time was, you know, stupid little chain, and they made some changes that really got people excited.
You know, they own Baskin Robbins.
They own Baskin Robbins?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. I thought, but no. Warren Buffett owns Dairy Queen.
Yeah, that's right.
Dairy Queen, right, right. Okay, okay. I was thinking, ice cream. Okay, you should be getting ready to start number three. Don't. Balance funds are cool. Oh.
This question right here, does she owe $18,000?
Student loans, yeah.
She owes
$18,000 in student loans, yeah. Yeah. So she's nervous, isn't she? Right? Yeah. But the cool thing about student loans is you can take a long time to pay them off. You can usually pay them off in 10 years, and then you can sometimes get a forbearance.
$18,000, that's not a lot for student loans.
For some people, it's not a lot. It's not a lot. Some people are walking out with $100,000, $200,000. There was one couple with like $900,000 in student loans.
Where did they go to school?
Harvard. Well, they got their bachelor's, master's, PhDs and stuff. And then they got to pay all that back. Well, they're never going to pay it back. They're never going to. They just pay what they can, you know. For the rest of their life, yeah. And by the time they die, it's going to be $2 or $3 million that they'll owe.
Does that pass down to somebody?
No. Once you're dead.
Wow.
No, that's it.
But I'm sure you paid more than half by then, bro.
Well, don't do anything. Don't do anything drastic. But realize that you're not alone. There are many people who will never pay off their debts.
Is it like you could pay it like a credit card, like a minimum amount and all that?
Yeah, there's some kind of, it's income based. You submit a packet and say, look, you know, this is how much money I'm making, this is how much I owe, and they say, okay, pay us $80 a month or $200 a month or whatever. And some people will never, see, you don't hear too much about it now, but 4 years ago in the presidential election, there was a lot of discussion about these student loans. And this year, you don't hear too much. You hear more about Medicare for All. But there's $1.5 trillion in student loans, and much of it will never be repaid. So the taxpayers are going to wind up footing the bill for much of it. Oh, yeah. What?
That just goes on forever?
Until they die. Eventually, they're going to kick the bucket, yeah. Yeah. Okay, questions, thoughts? Okay, couple more minutes. Okay, who's got the best plan for couple number one? Who's got the best plan for couple number one? Nobody? What? Okay, write it up. Right, what you did, how much? Who's got the best plan for number two?
I do.
Who's got best plan for number two? No. Got a good plan for number two. Okay, why don't you put it up here?
How much are we going to put inside of domestic bonds?
What was that?
Are we going to put all the funds inside of it? Well,
put your plan up for number two. Don't worry about it. It's got to be better than mine. Who's got the best plan for couple? They have 50 grand. What are you going to do with it? Best plan for number three? Okay.
We're in disagreement.
That's okay. It's a good thing. But
he thinks that she shouldn't invest until she pays off the student.
You know, that's some people's plan. That's some people's strategy. I disagree. She should be paying off the loan, but she should be putting at least $50. I mean, what's her cell phone payment? Right? She should be at least putting something away,
even if it's a number. Pay yourself first.
Right. Chapter Business 121, Financial Planning, Money Management. So yes, pay off the debt, but you're not alone. Other people believe, no, I want to be debt free, and then I'll start investing. The problem with that is life happens. And then there's, oh, the car had a baby, and oh, my sister needs a new transmission, and oh, you know, so that's the problem I find with that one. But remember, some people like vanilla, some people like chocolate, and then some people like strawberry. So there's a lot of different ways to go about. But I'm, yeah. Who's got the best plan for number three? Who's got the best plan for number three? Well, what are you? What else? I mean, what are they doing with it? What are they going to do with that?
Oh, insane!
How much?
Oh.
Yeah. What are they going to do with that aggressive growth fund? They got 15 years. What are they going to do with it? Well, how much? Well, how about $50? How about you start? And what about that $10,000 he's got? He could put at least half of it. Is that case two? Oh, case two. Oh. How much is she going to put away? I'm sorry, case two is she's teaching.
So we as a super seller or whatever?
What?
We just assume how much she makes.
But wait a minute, she's nervous. She has never invested before. You're going to put her in an aggressive growth fund? Are you going to call her every other day, say, don't worry, went down 5%, but don't you? We're going to come back.
I mean, if she's pretty, I can be
there. You're pretty, yeah, right, yeah. Okay. Who's got the best for number three? Who's got the best for number three? Hurry up, hurry up. Okay, 50 a month, but you're going to be really kind to her because she's really pretty. And they're going to be visiting her every time. Okay, who's got the best for number three? No? Okay. All right, let's take a look at case number one. Case number one, they got $50,000. So what did they say? They're worried, right? These couple, they're worried. You're going to get them started with a domestic balance fund. Is that a good choice? Yeah. And then the municipal bond fund. What is cool with this? What is a California municipal bond fund going to do for them?
It's tax exempt.
So are they going to make a lot of money?
No,
but they're not going to pay any taxes, which is cool, right? So maybe that might really get them excited. How much are they going to put away every month? Well, what do you mean they don't need to? Sure they do. They need to put money away. If you ran this for 15, 20 years, you'd see that, yeah, they'd have a pretty good nest egg, but it'd be a hell of a lot better if they started putting $50, $100. They could probably put more in, right? Kids cost. They don't have kids, so that's why they can put more away.
Right?
$100 a month. Okay. So $50, $100 investment. Okay, I'll take that. And now, don't panic. She's young. Is she going to panic?
No.
But he had a great comeback. He said, she's cute. I'll be calling her every other week to explain to her that she's going to be doing just fine. I remember one. How are we doing? Not bad. Remember one client. She had put $50 for 2 months in the market. It's 2002. The market went, and she called me up. Frank, what do I do? What do I do? I said, well, you know, we don't do much of anything. It's a long-term investment. She goes, but I lost money. I was like, how much did you put in? $100. How much did you lose? Well, it looks like I have $98, so I lost $2. How does it feel to lose $2? Not bad. She's never complained since. Yeah, when some people call me, I lost $400. I said, you want to know how much I lost? Relax, we've been here before. We know that markets go up and down. But if the world ends, it doesn't matter where our money is. But people all around the world are putting money in their pocket. They're buying McDonald's and Coca-Cola and Nike and Jack Daniels. Okay, so study. You're going to do great. And if you don't do great, don't fall on your sword. Don't drop the class. You won't be the first Southwestern student who hasn't studied for the exam.
What would you suggest for case three? What would you suggest for case three?
Case three is tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
If they can start putting $50 or even $25 a month away, maybe the guy needs the $5,000 for medical bills. Maybe he can put the other $5,000 away. So that's the tough. These are the people who really need your help. They're the people.
Would you suggest like an Indian curry spice, or would you suggest like a white people oatmeal?
Well, they have 15 years. So I would probably use this growth and income. Because they don't really, they don't sound too worried. You know, they're not worried about, oh, what if I lose money? But if they really were more worried, I might do a balanced fund. But equity income, growth and income.
I mean, they should be worried. They don't have a plan.
Well, this is
they don't have a retirement.
Yeah, well, their emphasis is on the kids. Yeah, I know. It's tough. These are the people your heart goes to. Because what's the most important financial decision you're going to make in your lifetime?
Making choices
for
other people?
No. Who you marry.
Oh, yeah.
And then subsequently divorce. Because marriage is grand and divorce is more like 100 grand. Yes, Imani.
When I was looking at the 21 day, but I didn't.
Okay, that's 1 month, 3 month, 6 month.
Okay. And when I was looking, like when I went on the Treasury data.
Did you look for auction results? Do individual first. Okay. And then go down and find auction results.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay, let's get out of here. Bum, 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 bum. Da, 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 da. What a great class this is. Oh, you done? You done?
Yeah,
Mr. Brown.
Chapter 1
okay, good. You want to follow me to my office and I'll grade it right now. Give it right back to you.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not going to lie, sir. This is probably...
What?
I didn't even know that.
I don't know. It looks like you did it right.
I did my best.
Okay. Well, let's see. But we got to get out of here. Yes.
The one page of notes is front and back, right? You
said front and back. One page of front and back. That's right. Yes. Okay. What a great class, huh? Not like last semester's class. Forex, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. It's like, you might as well go to Las Vegas. You know, they give you free drinks. it's just outright dangerous because what you can lose everything overnight if the market turns against you. But why do people like it? Because you can gain 100% in one day, right? That's why people love it.
I'm barely getting into it.
So. You divorce? Huh? You divorce? No. I mean, it is very risky. It is not risky. It is extremely risky. And the thing is, when you sign up for this, you sign an agreement that you don't know what the hell's going on, but they can kick you out of your position without having to contact you. If they see that you're losing a lot of money, they can pop you out of the position immediately without asking for your permission. Because they are the ones that are ultimately on the hook. Say you put a $10,000 investment in, speculation, and you wind up losing $30,000, which you can do. You can wind up losing a hell of a lot more than you put in. You're on the hook for that 20 grand. But what if you disappear and send them a postcard from Aruba or someplace? Guess who has to pay? The brokerage firm. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So they don't want to be stuck. So you get down that $10,000. I think it's, I'm not sure. I've never done margins. I've never done Forex trading or commodities trading. But I think if you lose 50%, they'll kick you out right away. Boom. Right away. Because they're not going to lose any more. At the end of the semester, we'll talk about margin and shorting and the like, and that's not even as bad as that's not even as dangerous as commodities market, commodities futures. What? Commodities are very risky. Yes. Well, it's speculative. Yes, it's very speculative. That's the key. That's the word we use, and we don't use the word gambling. No. No, we right, exactly. You might as well, that's it. You might as well go to the casino because you get free drinks and the women are good looking. Yeah, maybe the copy a room. Yeah. Okay, yes, questions. So you want me to look at your thing right now. Let me get this guy right. Oops, glasses, where are my glasses? Hang on a minute here. Wait a minute. So let me look at Mr. Brown's here. And then he'll be on his merry way. You did great.
I did?
Yeah, you did great. You did great. Okay, and then, did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
It's kind of boring.
Yeah.
But that's short-term security. They're boring. And then you got to do this one.
Got to do this one?
Okay.
All right.
So go to treasurydirect.gov, the same place that you found. The same place you found these guys, right here.
Okay.
And then just try to find the answers to these questions.
Okay.
The answers are not as important as the process.
Okay.
Okay? Right. Because you're familiarizing yourself with a potential investment, and that's more important. Okay. So, Mr. Brown. Okay, yes?
I have a question. Sure. I'm sure you're busy.
No, that's okay. And you need...
Yeah, I just had a question about more stuff.
Okay. So.
Okay, so there's this pamphlet that I'm taking another business course, and... They gave me, like, the Take 5 certificate, 5% at this, like, California Coast Bank. Yeah.
There's usually a maximum.
Okay, I was wondering if, like, because it says something about, like, new money, about 500 at least.
Yeah, in other words, they don't want existing money. If you already have money with them, they're not going to put that in the account. So what's the maximum? That's pretty damn good, 5%.
But I think it's, like, a five-month thing or something.
Oh, it's only for 5 months, and there's usually a maximum. Let's see what it says here. Early withdrawal penalties, new money only, minimum opening deposit is $5,000. I can't find the Oh, and there's some constraints. They want you to they don't want somebody moving their money to them and leaving it there. They want you to start using their debit card, their checking account, their credit card. So read the fine print carefully.
Okay.
But it doesn't have a maximum. Usually there's something like $3,000 or $10,000 maximum. So that's interesting. Because 5% is a hell of a lot better than what other people are paying.
I was wondering that, like, right now my bank's Bank of America. If it's just as easy as taking the money out of savings, because they don't yield a lot of, like,
no.
it's a fraction of 0.2%
or 0.5%.
Like, if it was as easy as taking the money out of my savings.
That's as easy as that.
Popping it down.
But then read it carefully, because they want you to then to start using their banking services.
Okay,
they want you to be a regular customer.
Okay.
They just don't want you to park some money there for 5 months for 5%.
Yeah.
They want to see you. They want to come see. They want you see. They want to see you coming in the door, and using them as your primary bank.
Awesome! Awesome! Awesome!
That's pretty good. 5%.
Yeah. Professor also made a comment that there was, like, another. I think for another bank that there was a 9% for 9 months, but it was like a 90-year thing. 90-year thing.
9%.
Supposedly, I have no idea. But it was a temporary thing. It wasn't like.
And it's
like an
90
ongoing.
Years.
It was a 90-year anniversary.
Oh, it's a celebration.
Yeah.
Right.
Like 9 months.
Right. How are we doing now? This thing's going on. Let me turn this off.